with the spring election a week from today. Wisconsin Watch has analyzed the ballots cast over the last decade and has found election fraud in Wisconsin is incredibly rare. Only 192 prosecutions across 48 elections and out of 31 million ballots cast. More than half of those prosecuted were people who tried to register to vote or cast a ballot before the end of their probation after serving time for a felony. The state legislature has introduced dozens of election reform bills. Wisconsin Watch has also looked at how effective those might be at preventing election fraud. Matthew DeFore is the State House Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Watch. Matt, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, thanks so much for having me back on.
Well, I gave some basic numbers there. First of all, how uncommon is election fraud, especially when it comes to prosecutions in Wisconsin?
Yeah, election fraud is, we've been hearing how rare it is, but this was the first time that I think a news organization had gone and looked at every single case in CCAP, the state's online court system database, and we found 192 cases of all kinds of election fraud. This includes voter impersonation, double voting, and what we found was the most common kind of election fraud was actually when somebody has a felony conviction and they're still serving that sentence out of prison and they vote, which is in the state still, that's illegal. It's legal and actually in 22 other states, you can vote out after you get out of prison, but not in Wisconsin. And so that's the most common kind of election fraud.
Can you talk through sort of the rules? When can that person who served time for a felony, when are they able to vote again?
Yeah, so it's different in different states, but in some states, a couple states, you can vote while in prison if you have a felony conviction. In some states, you can vote as soon as you get out of prison, even if you're still serving on some kind of probation or parole. In Wisconsin, you have to finish your probation or parole sentence, and then the Department of Corrections will inform you that you have your voting rights restored. And I think you mentioned that there are some bills in the legislature where they're talking about extending that further so that you have to also pay any kind of restitution fees, fines as part of that. But that's currently not the case. Currently, as long as you've served your probation, you're on paper, I think, as they would call it, you are able to vote.
Now, Wisconsin Watch dug into some particular cases here where somebody after a felony sentence, still on probation, tried to get a ballot or vote. It seems like a lot of the problem for at least some of those voters was confusion or hearing those laws in the news from other states that are different from Wisconsin's.
Right. And that's the thing with these kinds of cases is, you know, when we hear about, oh, election fraud, you know, you think of like, oh, double voting, like dead people voting or people voting in two states. And those are things, there's only like 40 cases of that kind of actual voter fraud. When we talk about felons voting, this is not a conspiracy. This is people who usually just don't know the rules, and for whatever reason, they're able to get through the system. I mean, at a polling place, they provide a list of the convicted felons in the state, so they should be catching them, but there are potentially things that they could do with the legislature to make sure that it's even more foolproof, although, again, the numbers are very small, mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's almost a question as to what is, you know, do we need to really do a whole lot? Probably not, but Yeah, I mean, if we're going to say we need to fix the system to stop voting election fraud or some kind of voting fraud, this would be the thing we need to figure out how to make sure we are tightening the system.
And did I read in at least one instance the Department of Corrections, somebody from the DOC had told that ex-felon, yeah, you're good, when in fact they weren't quite good for voting?
Yeah, that was one case. I mean, it can be, I think, are we going to change the laws mm-hmm. because there was one situation like that or if there are a couple? But yeah, I mean, if there is any kind of confusion, you know, we point out that in a lot of other states, the clear demarcating line is when you come out of prison. I mean, that's one way the state could do it. It looks like right now the Republicans and the legislature are interested in going maybe the other way, which doesn't really clear up that issue. It maybe adds another layer of confusion. But again, that's a policy choice. So if that's the way the state is looking to go, you know, that's what the politicians can decide. But if you really wanted to make it a clear demarcating line, you know, you're in prison, you can't vote, you're out of prison, you can. That's one another way of doing it.
Talking to Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch about voting here in Wisconsin, some of the rules, some of the cases where the rules are broken intentionally or otherwise. Now, Matt, you wrote a piece yourself looking at a very different category, people who have been, for one reason or another, declared as ineligible to vote. Now, who are we talking about here, first of all?
So this is interesting. We have been looking at this issue of people who a court deems incompetent to vote. This comes from the Michael Gableman investigation that got a lot of notoriety about a year ago. But the one of the takeaways from that, there was some suggestion that there were people in nursing homes who were then not allowed to vote in specific cases and then able to vote somehow. His investigation only identified a couple of those cases, but we have since, working with Dane County Clerk Scott McDonnell, we were able to find 95 cases just in Dane County out of, you know, about 1,000 people who are adjudicated incompetent to vote by a court. And it's a complicated story, so I don't know exactly which facet of it you want to discuss, but it is again, not a big enough issue that it would affect the outcome of elections. Mm-hmm. But we were just talking about, you know, how many people have felony convictions voting. It's a larger number than that. And these are not cases that have been prosecuted. These are just people who are on a list saying they are ineligible to vote, casting ballots.
Right. Are there thoughts that, okay, we could change the system to make sure if someone in that category tries to get a ballot or tries to vote that the system catches that?
Yeah, the system is really disorganized right now in that it's got some, I don't want to say the whole system's disorganized, but there really isn't a clear system for how the courts notify local election clerks. It's not specified in state law how that's supposed to happen. And if it were, it's possible there would be a greater attention paid to making sure the records are clear so that people who are adjudicated incompetent to vote are not accidentally receiving ballots through our current system.
All right, I'm going to dive into a part that makes it even more complicated.
Oh, no.
In your reporting, you found people who had been declared incompetent to vote, possibly unintentionally. They are competent to vote. They voted, but they shouldn't have because they were technically on that list, right?
Right. So this is even more complicated that there are people that are going to be... So as the clerks realize that they have information that needs to be updated on certain people, they're going to go down the list and say, oh, wait, this person shouldn't have... They shouldn't be an active voter. I'm going to deactivate this person. But because that wasn't happening a decade ago, maybe when the person first became ineligible, that person might come to the polls now on Tuesday next week or maybe in 2024, and they're going to be told, oh, I'm sorry, you're no longer eligible to vote because, you know, you're inactive. And so the issue there is that because we're fixing the system now, we're fixing the errors in the list, there are people who were never told that there was an error. Because, again, that person might have been caught 10 years ago and would have fixed it back then. But now they're coming into the system, and it could cause some confusion. And again, not a huge number of cases, but enough that I think people need to be aware that this is actually out there.
Republicans, as we mentioned, the state legislature proposing a variety of reforms to our elections. Do you see, when you compare, you know, the proposed changes to where we see these small numbers of cases of voting that shouldn't have happened, is there a lot of overlap there?
You know, a lot of the election reform discussion is caught up in the politics, but there are, I think, there are good faith efforts. I talked to, for example, Representative Krug, who's the new chair of the Elections Commission, for the story we did, and he said that this was the top issue, the incompetent voters who are able to vote. That was the top issue raised, or one of the top issues raised in a recent meeting with the Wisconsin County Clerks Association. And he thinks that there's room for discussion with Democrats in the governor's office to find a solution that doesn't get caught up in some of those politics.
So. Right. And I assume, I'm going to guess that clerks, like the one in Dane County you talked to, probably want clarity and want to know that their system is working properly.
Yeah. And I think that's what most people would like to see is, you know, we can get caught up in the politics of, are we trying to pass laws that make it harder for certain people to vote or make the system too loose? But some of these things are just basic. Let's make sure the system that we have is working. So
after this series of pieces by you and your colleagues, what open questions remain in your mind?
I would say the big question I have is why people find it so hard to believe that our system is not pretty airtight. We have a good system for voting. Millions of people are voting every election cycle, and the votes are accurately reflecting the will of the people. It's when these little issues come up, you know, we're finding 100 votes, you know, that's not going to change the election. That's not enough to have these grand conspiracies about the election being stolen. It's too hard to orchestrate something on that scale. And so I think the question I have is really for what more do you need from us public to tell you that really, yeah, you can find little issues in the system, but overall our system is very sound.
Matt, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
Been talking to Matthew DeFore, State House Bureau Chief at Wisconsin Watch. He joined us today with a look at who's eligible to vote in Wisconsin, why a few ballots are cast illegally, and how proposed reforms might address election integrity.